even in normal times, and that's probably the most dramatic aspect of the story, African countries routinely face an issue of lack of access to antibiotics, simply because certain products don't enter the market in a certain country.
Hello, this is the weekly Tradecast, brought to you by UN Trade and Development. I'm Sarah Toms. We're exploring how major events are shaping trade and development and how that affects billions of people around the world. This week, we're looking at the challenges around antibiotics and how to protect people from getting deathly ill. Supplies of the bacteria-killing drugs are stretched worldwide, with shortages especially acute in many developing countries. Then there's a problem of antibiotic resistance due to overuse that raises the risk of many diseases becoming untreatable. The discovery of a new class of antibiotics to tackle lethal hospital infections offers hope, but new antibiotics are expensive to develop, and there's not much profit for the few companies that make them. UN Trade and Development highlighted these issues in recent reports on East Africa, calling for more investment and coordination to boost local production of essential antibiotics in the region. Well, joining me now is Bruno Casella, an economist working on international investment and sustainable development. In previous lives, he was a mathematician and executive consultant. Bruno is passionate about numbers, multinationals, and football.
Thank you, Sarah.
Good to have you back, Bruno. So are these shortages of antibiotics a supply chain issue or a demand issue? Which diseases pose the biggest dangers and which regions are most at risk?
It's a bit of both. In regions like Africa, that is where we did our project, local production of antibiotics is very limited. So there is a big reliance on imports. That depends on the country, but for example, in East Africa, that was our scope, reliance on imports goes from 50% in Ethiopia to 90% in countries like Uganda. Typically, biggest the country, strongest is the local production. But overall, local production is limited. Now, when a country relies a lot on imports for the supply of antibiotics, there are two types of issues. So when there is, of course, a surge in the demand anywhere in the world because of an outbreak of an infectious disease, then there is a problem of shortage in the country.
As we saw with COVID.
As we saw with COVID, but also infectious diseases that are treated with antibiotics, they are maybe less, they take less stage on the news, but they are kind of frequent. So that's the case, sort of a health crisis. And implication of health crisis for shortages. But even in normal times, and that's probably the most dramatic aspect of the story, African countries routinely face an issue of lack of access to antibiotics, simply because certain products don't enter the market in a certain country. And we know that multinational companies that are producing these antibiotics worldwide, often they don't even register certain products in certain countries. There are studies that show that if you exclude big developing countries like Brazil or South Africa, in most developing countries, only a minority of antibiotic products that are produced are registered. And companies typically, they do not register antibiotics for different reasons, because there is no business, the business opportunity is weak. For example, because the market is small, that's the most relevant reason. But there may be other reasons like unfavorable regulatory conditions in the country or a request of data related to the registration that are not easy to access and so on and so forth. But registration is the first vital step for an antibiotic product to enter a country. So without that, African countries cannot, there is no way they can access the global supply of certain antibiotics.
So what are these shortages, what impact are these shortages of antibiotics having on people on the ground?
Antibiotics is a very specific category of drugs, because even the most trivial infectious diseases, if it's not treated, can lead to extremely severe consequences and can lead to death. If I think about for example, my family, my son had three times in this winter the streptococcus at respiratory channels. It's something extremely, extremely trivial. You take antibiotics for 2 days and it's gone. But if you don't take antibiotics, you can die out of that. So any infectious disease can be extremely dangerous, and particularly concerning in developing countries, especially for children and women, is infection to respiratory channels and even bones. Now, there is one point that is very, very important, is that in antibiotics, on the one side, there is the shortage, so the impossibility to treat certain type of infections. And on the other side, we have what we call antimicrobial resistance. And we tend to think about these things as two different things, almost opposite things, because antimicrobial resistance in our world, in the rich world, is generated, this is what we know about that, by the abuse of antibiotics. So it's almost the antithesis of the shortage. In reality, antibiotic resistance can be generated also by the misuse of antibiotics, so by the inappropriate use of antibiotics. And this is what happens in the poor world.
Because they can't get hold of the antibiotics
they cannot get the right one. So they prescribe a suboptimal alternative, but that triggers and feeds antimicrobial resistance. So the one side, there is not the right medicine to cure the infections. On the other side, there is a prescription of a wrong medicine that feeds antimicrobial resistance. So it's a really concerning mix. Local production would definitely improve access to the appropriate antibiotics. The thinking is that in that way, of course, you are not dependent of external decision makers that, for example, can decide not even to register, as we were saying before, that product in our country. And you are less exposed, of course, to shortages related to surge in demand, but even shortages related to the very frequent disruption in global supply chain that we are seeing right now. Then I think it's a sound and strong logic. But we should not be naive, because the local production agenda is a very, very difficult one. If it was so easy, it would have already happened, let me say so. And it has a multiple challenge, and I want to mention one that is probably the most relevant. The business sustainability of local production rests on volumes. So you need to produce a lot to be profitable. That means that if you exclude big developing countries, for example, in the case of East Africa, Kenya is an example, for smaller developing countries, they don't have the scale, right? And local production there may be unsustainable and in any case is hardly competitive with big global producer that export.
What kind of investment, which is lacking, is needed to build up regional production? And who needs to be part of all of this? And how quickly can all of these elements come together?
The core investment is investment in the productive capacity. Now, one thing that we need to keep in mind is that when we talk about local production in African countries, is normally local formulation. That means that you still import the active ingredients and you do locally the subsequent steps. So you put them together, you turn them into the final formats in tablets, liquids, creams, and so on and so forth. So that's the core type of investment you need. And that's an investment that comes from the private, from multinationals, from local producers, from corporations, with the support of the states in terms of incentive and so on. Then you need a broader investment, for example, in infrastructure. There are some infrastructures that are absolutely critical for local production to work. One is, of course, the supply of power and water. There is a big, big usage of water in this process. The second is, of course, transport connectivity to really make this accessible to everybody. And third, it's even the most important, is waste management. Imagine if you start a local production agenda without having the waste management infrastructure to support it. It would be environmentally a disaster. If you think just about national government, so the kind of interfaces that we had when we were working with the countries, this agenda involves at least three or four ministries, because you have the Ministry of Health, of course. You have the Ministry of Finance, because you put money on it.
Yeah, of course.
You have the Ministry of Trade and Investment. And you have the Ministry of Industry. Sometimes trade, investment, and industry are together, so it's three instead of four. Well, and then you have, of course, the companies, and then you have non-governmental organizations that are very, very strong in this area, like REACT, that we worked a lot with. And then we have the regional level, the transnational level, even at the level of international organizations. You have the WHO, you have UNCTAD, you have many different organizations, and that in their own they are involved in this. So it's a very complex map, but it's absolutely critical to get the largest involvement and buy-in by all relevant stakeholders for this to work.
And what lessons can East Africa learn or share with other developing countries about producing and accessing a sustainable supply of antibiotics?
So these can be achieved only through a very inclusive activity of all the stakeholders. So in the East Africa, we have worked a lot with the East African community, which is the regional level, and we have worked a lot with countries. The second lesson, if I can summarize in two words, is not to be too naive about local production. You know, going beyond the narrative that just says, okay, local production would be a panacea. It's not a panacea, it's not easy. Is a way to address shortage of antibiotics, but needs to be carefully designed.
That was very interesting, Bruno. Thank you so much to UN Trade and Development's Bruno Casella for being this week's guest. Tune into the Weekly Tradecast next week and every week for more insights on the most pressing issues around the world of trade and development. There's even more on our website, unctad.org. I'm Sarah Toms in Geneva. Goodbye for now.